Janny Schmanny with the Comfort Level Podcast.
Alright, I got you. We'll play like three songs and then we're gonna get into the interview, okay?
Yes.
Radio. The number is 516-595-8305 with my co-host Niecy in the motherfucking building. Yo, listen, tonight we got Janny Schmanny of the Comfort Podcast on this BZ. Johnny! Yo, I just want to give a shout out to my boys, the Kansas City Chiefs. They kicking ass tonight. Y'all mean? Check this out, though. We gonna get into a couple more songs, and then we're gonna get into this interview. We got Niecy on here, we got Janny on here, we got some callers on here. We're gonna have a good night tonight. Everybody sit back, relax, take a chill pill. Once again, the number is 516-595-8305. Make sure that you press one if you want to talk. Next track that we're gonna play is Cleo and Haley doing, y'all be hearing it on the radio. This is my song right here. This is the Do-List song right here. This song make you shake your lady right here. Yeah, I mean, that old school make the old lady get up out of her fucking wheelchair with the cane and shit and start dancing. And this is one of them songs right here. You heard it first on Behind the Scenes Radio. Let's go. Thank you. You ready?
Yes.
That's how I do it on my show. We about to be hype on this motherfucker, but we got to get hype on this thing. That's the only way we can do it on the Honest Things Radio. Mm-hmm.
That's how we do. We turn it up. Right. We turn it up. Even though, you know, I'm a little comfort, you still got to listen to mama. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I got something for you. All right?
Turn it up. Burn it up.
Here we go.
Oh,
number is 516-595-8305 with my co-host, Nisi. What's going on, Nisi? What's happening?
Hey, y'all.
Hey, Nisi.
Yeah, we hear you. We hear you real loud and clear. Tonight, we have Jannie Smanny of the Comfort Level Podcast. She is in, so her company is an artist management-based company representing independent music artists, providing resources, assistance, and development programs to individuals discovering the music industry and its concepts. They're global pop and sports icons with mass appeal and have worked with brands as part of a multi-year, multi-channel marketing strategy that goes far beyond an Instagram post. This is good old-fashioned sponsorship, which has been around for decades, but has been conflicted with neo-marketing. Let everybody
unmuted.
Give from behind the scenes radio, give Jannie Smanny of podcast, a comfort podcast.
Thank you. What's up, Curtis? What's up, Nisi? That was a great introduction. You know what I mean? That was a great, even though I have a lot of them skills. You know, I had to put to rest. You know, not that I don't do them, but you know what I mean. You got to have support in order to do them, and you know, with the competition out here, it's hard. So, you know, most of my dedication has been to exposure and marketing, you know, different brands. And that's how I started a podcast.
First question. What are your techniques on scheduling promotion or performance engagements for your client?
My techniques on scheduling what? Pardon me?
What are your techniques on scheduling promotional or performance engagements for your client?
Well, I don't do a lot of booking, but being though that I have my own artists and I have a few artists that do look for me for booking, you know what I mean? I'm mostly a budget-friendly company, so it has to depend on the artist and what the artist is trying to do on that thing for, you know, in order for like live events and things like that. My scheduling for my podcast, you know, is a Monday through Thursday thing. You know, I do it from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you know, I try to expose as many brands as I can. You know what I mean? So that for brand exposure, as well as play music and, you know, talk about events and things that are happening.
Second question is, what is your biggest problem when running into artists that want promotion?
They talk a lot of shit. They don't really want promotion. My biggest problem is talking about it and not being about it. That's my biggest problem. So the thing of it is artists, they want more than they can afford. But when you try to listen to them and understand them and see where they're at and try to guide them, to make the best out of where they're at and to enhance that. They don't see it because they want superstar stardom right in the beginning of their career, and it doesn't work like that.
Okay, go ahead, Nisi.
How did you actually get started?
Actually, I'm a lover of music, mostly hip-hop and rap. But, you know, I do love all genres, you know. Me, I love R&B as well. But I was listening to a lot of rap music and stuff. And I had a friend that was making music, and you know, so, and he was doing all these things and he needed supporters. So, you know, I said, well, I'll be a supporter. So I just started supporting him. I made a fan page for him. We started traveling with him. So then he had a meeting with Def Jam and Universal Records. They came to his house for dinner. His mother was my friend, actually, and she cooked dinner. He asked me to come because he was nervous, and he asked me to come sit between him and Def Jam and Universal and eat dinner, and so they could have the meeting and talk, and he would feel more comfortable if I was around. And that really piqued my interest. Now, how I became a music manager, you know, I like different festivals and stuff like that. I had went to a barbecue where Schoolie D and a bunch of other people that I hadn't known were Petey Crack. A barbecue I went to. I went to that barbecue and I met this young man, and he just seeing that I knew a lot of, you know, the legends that were out there, and he said, can you be my manager? He didn't know who I was. And I actually was nobody, you know? But I never wanted to be like a groupie. That's one thing that I never wanted to be. I never wanted to be a groupie. I wanted to be useful. And he asked me to do that, and I told him that I never did that, and he said, you can do it. I know you can. And I said, let's try it. And we did. We studied together, and we tried it.
Okay. Okay, so what do you find harder, doing your podcast or being a music manager?
I think the podcast is a little harder because, like, sometimes you feel like you're talking to yourself sometimes. Like, the way I do my podcast, I can't always see my listeners because, my music license, I'm licensed to play music at the Comfort Level Podcast, which is set up at my home base. So I'm not licensed to go live on Instagram and Facebook and stuff like that with mainstream music. You know what I mean? So I play mainstream music now. My podcast is called The Rush Hour. Between 5 and 6, that's the rush hour here in Jersey. It's called the rush hour. And I gets down. I'm 60 years old, but I'm getting down with some music, okay? So there's some seasoned music coming up out of here that I just can't play live on Instagram. So sometimes I feel like, you know, when I'm doing my show, I'm talking to myself. And with managing, well, the artists that I have, okay, when an artist picks a manager, the manager should really know the artist well. Well, I don't have the very artist that I started with. I have a different artist that was given to me. Seriously, just given to me. It's just like, here, he's for you. You know, that's a whole different story. But me and him, we are so in tune with what we do that we know that we can't carry this thing over our head. So we work, you know, we work differently than others. You know what I mean? And my artist, he produces some great music. You know, and he's also worked with some legends. He has some music with some legends, and you know what I mean? Doing pretty good.
My next question is, can you tell us about the methods that you use to send samples of clients' work and other promotional material to potential employers to obtain auditions, sponsorships, and endorsement deals?
Well, I really don't do that for other artists because I just had to limit it, the work that I do for other artists, because in this area, nobody can really afford that, okay? So to keep it real, what I do is, you know, my artist, he has everything that he needs. He has his press kit and, you know, different stuff like that. And, you know, they... different companies have different guidelines for submitting. You know what I mean? But we frequent the, you know, all the outlets that he could... actually, we're going to put it this way. The outlets that we can afford. You know? And if we will set a goal and we will work on one thing at a time. And that's what we do. And that's, you know, that's how we managed it, you know, to get around. But in the last year, my artist, he, you know, he's been making an album. He made two albums in the last year that haven't dropped yet. So, you know, he has recorded two albums. And, you know, those are in the works right now. So we haven't really did a lot of booking for him. You know what I mean? Even though this year he came out. This is more about him or me. But I got him in magazines. And we have a clothing brand and all that other kind of crap. Next question.
Okay. And here's my other question, right? Oh, describe how you keep informed of the industry trends and deals, and then share an experience in which this helped you in your work.
You have to study, you have to listen, you have to be online, you have to go surround yourself with people that know what they're doing. I'm not talking about these little hip-hop open mics and stuff like that with legends. If you look at all my pictures and stuff like that, you'll see me with legends. And I learn from them, and I listen to them, and I go on their stuff, and I listen to their lives, and their podcasts, and their YouTubes, and everywhere. I'm a constant reader. I'm a constant blogger. I'm on all kinds of music publications, marketing apps. I'm a brand influencer that works with all types of a brand affiliate, if you want to put it that way. I work with different types of brands, you know, promoting them. So I'm always studying, you know, like you read the part about me when you said, you know, the Neo, you know. Well, Neo means new, so, you know, sometimes some new things is coming up, but I mostly concentrate on what has been done, how it's supposed to be done, you know. Now, there's little ways of doing things to get around a couple things, but basically, it's all the same in the industry. It's not changing that much, you know. The only thing that's changing is the way that you reach people, and new things are coming out all the time. It's utterly impossible to keep up with all the newest stuff that's there, but, you know, and that's another reason why I started the podcast, too, to reach out to more people, you know, and help with the exposure.
Do you, this is a two-part question.
How do you go about promoting your clients, number one, and number two, when you hook up events for them, do you also attend?
When I hook up an event? I will promote an artist if I see something. I've done this. When I see an event that I know that an artist, I want it to be beneficial to the artist, okay? I'm not going to try to sign up an artist where there's nobody to network, or there's no prize or nothing that you can win, that you're just going to go sing and leave, you know. Like, most of these venues, you know, they're not really entertaining the crowd, and they're not getting anything out of it, you know. Even though I believe in what I call lyrical exercise, and, you know, it's the exercise of learning your craft, you know, how to perform. You can only do it but so much for no money, okay? So I want to make sure that my artists get something. So I will choose an event that's right for them. You know, I've taken artists to open mics and things like that where you can win this prize. And we go in there, we win the prize, and we leave. That's what we do. You know what I mean? So I've done it over and over again. But the thing of it is you have to know the artist, and you have to know the crowd, you have to know the area that you're in, and then you know what to bring and what to give to them. I forgot the second part of the question. Nisi?
How do you actually go about promoting them to begin with?
Okay, like, well, what I do is I want them to sit down and think about what they want their audience to think of them. So what they want to give to the audience is their brand, is them. So we want to make sure that we're giving them. You know, I promote them. I have different platforms where, the most platform that I'm working on, now I have a roster with about 8 artists on. I take one song and I link everything that they got to that one song. So, and it's on a platform where people only go there to listen to music. So, and on this platform, you can do all different promotions on there. You get subscribers and email addresses. You can do any promotions. You can sell your items. You sell your music. Everything. I promote them on there. You know, I take one song and a couple pictures. That's all I need to promote you to thousands, okay? So, last week on that platform, I was running number one. Right now, I'm running number two on that platform for City of Philadelphia in hip-hop, rap, and indie for that music. Now, brands, I'll take brands, whatever on my brand affiliate programs, they usually designate what they want you to do for them. So whether it's a blog, whether it's an Instagram post or a tweet or things like that. I'm on all platforms. I do blogs on music publications, raphead.com or Rap or Die. I used to blog on This Is 50. I don't do that no more. Different stuff. I get them in music publications that I don't even blog on. My podcast, you know, I pitch the music to listeners worldwide and I promote the music, you know. It's just a basic promotion, like, you know, they can get a radio interview, custom tailored, you know. Well, and all the interviews are recorded and they're archived, you know, for, they can use it for their advertising or promotional needs. You know, I'm on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Anchor FM, Deezer, CastBox, Podchaser, TuneIn Radio, Breaker, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, all over, Radio Public, and the number one app for Androids. Podcast Addicts. So, you know, and the basic platforms like Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, you know, you can catch my podcast wherever. And, you know, the segments are permanently, they're recapped and they remain on the podcast, you know, they can catch that. My website is realitymusicco.com. You can go catch it. You can go catch an episode right there. The interview, Curtis. I got an interview of you. You and Niecy. Y'all on there. You know, I mentioned the two online music publications. And, you know, it's cross-promotion on all social media sites. You know, I do it several times a week. You know, and the roster that it's called Number One Music. I have on, I do that constantly, daily, all day, you know? So, you know.
That sounds like you, Kurt, all day long.
I'm busy all day long. We busy all day long, all day long. You know what I mean? And a lot of people only see you on Instagram and Facebook. Well, that's because they have Instagram and Facebook. You know what I mean? I got so many platforms, I don't even remember them all. You know, when they pop up on my email, I'll be, oh yeah, let me go pop something on that. You know what I mean? And I pick something, I pick somebody. I don't always pick my artists, you know? But I want to get into this right now. I'm tired. And now I want to even downsize even a little more. Like, I'm kind of tired of the podcast, you know? It does, the podcast really gives a lot of exposure, but, like, I feel like sometimes I'm talking to myself, and I need more visual, you know? So, I'm not getting as much visual as I should, you know? I do have some.
So do you think you would go into YouTubing more?
Yeah, I have to get into YouTubing more. You know, I have some events on there, and I have some of the podcasts I did with some of the co-hosts that left me because they want to rap and sing. Yeah, but. You know what I mean? Most of my YouTube videos are from my experiences, you know, and music I love, festivals and stuff like that, you know. I love the outdoors, so, you know, if I could podcast at a festival all day, that would be in my glory. Just sit there and talk all day and play music. You know, but the thing of it is I'm it's like this. I'm an older woman, you know, and I know the competition is strong, you know what I mean? And these young ones out here is, you know, okay, say it, the running rings around me, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I just thought about...
So with the...
Go ahead, Niecy.
No, I was just going to ask, so what is like the most difficult thing you've encountered either promoting or managing an artist or on your podcast?
It's the support. You know, I can do the job. It's the support, you know, and if you don't have any customers to work with, you know, then it gets like boring. I'll say I'm bored with it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the people that I work with and see my work and stuff, they always have been satisfied, you know, to a certain extent. You know, there might be a little, you know, stuff we have to... take care of and make it a little better and an afterthought, but you know, I work well with other people and I just wanted to give people what they want, you know what I mean? What is it that they want? It seems like they don't know. You know? I can't give fame. I can't give fame. It's like leading a horse to water but not being able to make him drink it.
Yeah, that goes with a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Kurt?
It's a struggle out here for the artist, especially at these times now, you know what I mean? So, it's crazy because... Uh-huh. Well, marketing, you know, it's a big deal. You know what I mean? I like dealing with people that can pay like a one-time fee for like a steady flow of service or something like that. You know, like on with my platforms, you know, I usually say, okay, if you know, say if I charge you, for example, $40 for 30 days of just promotion. I give you everything I got. I wouldn't even care. You know what I mean? But they just don't listen. They don't hear it. You know what I mean? Like, because most of my marketing is online. So, you know what I mean? Platforms that I've already paid for. And marketing, you know, is only actually, you know, telling stories that people, you know, people, the thing of it is you got to be good at it. You know what I mean? You have to tell fabulous stories to, you know, the marketing is a game, okay? Everybody's doing the same thing. But if your story is enthralling and fabulous or whatever, people gonna forget about their wallets, you know, because they're gonna come running to you because you got this fabulous story of how you can promote them, you know what I mean? And I'm just giving the raw shit. You can't afford that fucking shit right there. Why are you looking at it? They don't want to hear that. They want to hear, yeah, I can make you famous. I'm not gonna give you that story. I'm not going to give you know what I mean? It's creating, yeah. Communicating, delivering, and you know, and exchanging offers. You know, it gives the value to the customers. You know what I mean? And your clients and your patrons. My core concept.
So some advice you would give to someone who wants to do a podcast or get into managing an artist?
Well, a podcast is easy to start because a podcast, when podcasts started, there it was no visual. People was just talking. Now, since we got these lives and these Instagrams and all this and these different platforms, podcasts has become visual. You know what I mean? So, I mean, anybody can do it, but you have to have some good content to keep a lot of viewers, you know, sponsors and things like that, people that want to be on your podcast. You have to draw those sponsorships and things like that. You know, if your content is not good, it's not your, you know, and that's kind of like where I'm failing at, you know, even though I'm playing good music. It's a million people playing good music, you know what I mean? So I guess more so to draw people to my product would be, you know, enhancing the product itself, my selling concept, my marketing concepts, and the societal marketing concepts. You know, you have to really know who to market to.
True.
I just want to identify the needs of the customer.
3569. Is anyone on there?
Yes, the boy is Chubby Idris Elba. What's good?
Hey, how are you? Do you have any questions for Jamie?
I was kind of listening to the conversation. So I was like, Jamie's got some really good marketing strategies, and she's going on a new platform. She's trying to launch it via podcast. Is that right?
Yes. Well, my podcast has about 100 episodes. So I've been doing this since last year. Yeah. And I've been in the business for over 13 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
My philosophy is really identifying the needs of my customers, and that, you know, benefits us both in business.
Mm-hmm. A mutually satisfying relationship, absolutely. I podcast as well. I've been going since 2018, so definitely keeping my ears open to learn from you.
You know, what do you find hard?
I mean, it's really about content, and there's a lot of different schools of thought. And I know for my brand, I make sure that I do 7 points every day. I make sure that I get 7 pieces of content every day. Mm-hmm. I might not like all 7 pieces, but I get them out there every day. It might be all video, it might be pictures, it might be memes, it might be a message. But that's how I've been playing. Mm-hmm. I just kind of keep that consistency. And sometimes when I'm ready to execute a strategy, I execute. Mm-hmm. And other times I'm just observing. You know, trying to learn through osmosis. I don't have 13 years like you do, so I definitely listen to every word that you say.
Well, you know what?
We're going to take a quick music break with JT, Fell in Love. We'll be back in a minute.